Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on yet another disappointing end to the season for Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Vols. That's coming up at 7:30. Charles Robinson at 9 o'clock as well here on the program. And Joe, we'll have something pretty big to talk to Charles about coming up at 9 o'clock. Quarterback movement in the AFC South. The Atlanta Falcons trading Matt Ryan to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for a 2022 third round draft pick. So not a high price paid for Matt Ryan either. The Colts have found their quarterback. What do we think of Matt Ryan as the new quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts? And what does this do for how you view the Colts in the AFC South?
I should have been prepared for this because, of course, I put up that poll. I was hoping to have a full 24 hours to see, you know, what people thought about the possibilities for the Colts quarterbacks. But let's see what it ended up with. So we ended up with Titans fans. Which of these quarterbacks would you most like to see in Indy? Most like to see. Least afraid of. So the quarterback most wanted to see, 569 votes here, Baker Mayfield, 44.6%, Jimmy G, 33.9%, Matt Ryan, 21.4%. So according to this poll, Titans fans are most worried about Matt Ryan with the Colts. I think I agree. I don't know. I hadn't thought all that much about Matt Ryan in the last couple of years, because the Falcons are so irrelevant and bad that it's sort of like, you know, like you don't watch him a ton.
Sure.
And he's, I've always thought he's still a good quarterback. The Titans went there a few years ago when Marcus Mariota was still the starter.
We'll get to that here in a few minutes.
Oh, exciting times, baby. Exciting times. And I remember watching that game. The Titans won and the Falcons were bad. But even like offensively, it's like, man, Julio Jones, who was still Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and they're just kind of, you know? So that's just the up close view. Just like, I mean, he was an MVP. He's just not nearly at that level. But I think you could make the case that this is a little bit better than the last two attempts, a little bit. Like, is this version of Matt Ryan right now? How does it compare? Because I think the Wentz thing was just – he's just a mess, okay? So get him out of there. He screwed it up. He can do some things that neither the other two guys who are bracketed him can't, but he's just a mess. But compare Matt Ryan right now coming in to Phillip Rivers 2 years ago. Who's better? I think it's pretty close.
I'd say I don't think it's that different, to be honest with you. I mean, look, I'll say this. I think the Colts will be a good team with Matt Ryan as their quarterback. I think they'll be in a similar situation that they've been the last couple of years, and that is right kind of on the fringe of a playoff team. That's to me, that's what they are with Matt Ryan as their quarterback. We'll see what other moves they make in the draft and what happens here. But like, I'm not shaking my boots today if I'm a Titans fan. Like, I think Matt Ryan's a good player. He's 36 years old. Like, it's obviously fair to say he's on the back half of his career now. I mean, last year, 3,900 yards, that's a good amount of yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 67% completion percentage. I mean, I think he's a good player. I think this is probably something where a change of scenery could be good for him. But this, again, feels to me like the Colts are just, they're putting a Band-Aid on the problem, and they just keep trying to strap this Band-Aid on the problem at quarterback. And, you know, whether it's next year or the year after, they're going to be right back to searching for another quarterback. And I still think the Titans are the clear favorite in the AFC South with Matt Ryan as quarterback of the Colts. People may disagree with that, but I think Matt Ryan's a good player. I'm not scared of Matt Ryan if I'm a Titans fan today.
Yeah, some people, I think, do disagree. I mean, I definitely saw some, Colts got Matt Ryan. Colts have a quarterback. That's all they needed, you know. I think it's going to be close. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's, I mean, they figured it out. I do think See, the thing is, it's like you compare the last guy, and again, after the fact, it's not that big of a surprise, but after the fact, it comes out that, you know, Carson Wentz just wasn't what they were looking for as a leader. Matt Ryan will be that, but so is Phillip Rivers, right? So anything you good you can say about Matt Ryan, you can probably say about Phillip Rivers 2 years ago. The one difference, I would say Matt Ryan can still push the ball downfield better than Phillip Rivers can.
Yeah.
And I guess
probably better than Carson Wentz can.
Well, maybe. I mean, Carson Wentz knows how to draw those PIs, man.
Yeah, he does.
But also, you know, it's like Matt Ryan doesn't feel like the death picks like Phillip Rivers, too. So you could make the case that this is the best of the three, but I totally agree with you. It's just another, okay, who can we – okay, how about let's try you. Come on in. I mean, I think it would still probably make sense for them to, like, try to draft a QB if there's somebody they really like and really try to start that clock. Not like a fifth rounder like you know, like they've done, or like the Titans have done too, a late round flyer, like actually try to find your quarterback in the future. Cause yeah, I don't think this is going to be super long term. I mean, they've been bad, so it's also harder. I mean, look, he's passed for before last year. I mean, he had a decade straight of 4,000 plus. He had a couple of years that was right on the cusp of 5,000. The MVP season of 16, his last great season was 2018, 49-24, 35 touchdowns, 7 picks, you know, rating a 108.1. So, but since then he's been low 90s and like, you know, mid 20s.
Bless you.
Oh my gosh. I tried to mute myself and I blew it. I hit the click and I blew it.
Bless you, Joe.
Thank you. Sorry, that kind of is a lip smack? Probably does.
Yep, I'm sorry, but just imagine anybody listening in their car and just hearing that right now.
I'm sorry. I felt it coming on, and I'm like, mute button. I clicked it, but I was just the mouse was just shy of the mute.
Oh, Rex Rhodes is allergic to Matt Ryan as quarterback of the Colts.
But he's, you know, it's like decent numbers, but they've also been bad. So it's... You know, he's going to be on a good team now. He's going to be on a team that has a running game. That's been a while for him since he's had that. You know, and you know, if you remember when the Falcons were great and they blew the 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, you know, that team had a really good running game, two backs who were a problem. And so I'm sure if you're him, you love the idea of having a legit defense helping you and one of the best backs in the league behind you. If you're him, you got to feel like, okay, I'm going to show everybody like I'm still that guy.
I mean, my question is no different than it's really been the whole time with the Colts, and we've talked about it. Like, I think Matt Ryan is definitely safer than Carson Wentz, but who's he throwing the ball to? That continues to be my question for the Colts. Like, who they got that he can throw the ball to? I think Michael Pittman Jr. is a good player, but Michael Pittman Jr. to me is not a number one wide receiver in the NFL. Now, maybe it's via the draft. I know they re-signed Mo Alie-Cox, so... I'm not saying they have nothing in the passing game, but still, to me, if you're the Colts, like wide receiver needs to be a point of emphasis for you the rest of this offseason.
Oh, I totally agree. But I mean, I guess I'd be really surprised if it wasn't. Who else? Because I certainly, again, we've talked about the draft. I think there are a lot of good options in the draft at that position. What about in free agency? Who's left out there? Because they've got space.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Oh, there you go. MVS, you know, yeah. maybe that's the answer. Yeah, it's kind of slim pickings out there. Kind of a little bit surprising. By the way, speaking of money and all that, how about the Falcons? I think they have like $60 million in dead money now.
Yeah, they do.
you know, with this deal, which is just wow.
Largest amount of dead money in NFL history.
Yeah, is that confirmed? Because I know that. I know on our Slack channel yesterday, there was some question about that. Like, you know, is this absolutely number one? Okay, well, there you go. Congratulations, Atlanta Falcons.
Way to go, Falcons. Speaking of the Falcons, we'll get to another quarterback move they made yesterday coming up next.
Oh, boy.
Get to more of your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Thank you. With the second pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Marcus Mariota, quarterback, Oregon.
Oh, yeah, baby. He's back. By the way, Roger Goodell nailed that one, didn't he? Marcus Mariota.
Well, I mean, he was only, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner and clearly one of the top two picks in the draft. So, I mean, how could you expect the commissioner of the league to have a freaking clue who he is, you know? It's asking way too much.
Little did we know that would be foreshadowing of many people who have butchered his name over the years. Nobody's quite gone Mariota, though. That was amazing from the commish.
Yeah, he did get that. That's the interesting thing is he got the Mar part, which is what everyone somehow struggles with, but. Wow.
So Matt Ryan out to the Colts. Marcus Mariota in to the Falcons. He's signed a two-year deal that's basically a one-year deal. I think $6.75 million is what he'll make in the first year of it. And my guess is they'll probably try to find another quarterback after that, unless he just lights it up. But Marcus Mariota, quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. And as things stand today, Joe Rexroad, looks like he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, reuniting with Arthur Smith. What do you think of maybe Marcus getting another shot as a starter down there in Atlanta with Arthur Smith and company?
It's pretty exciting, honestly. Now, I don't know how exciting it is for Arthur Smith, who, what, 5 days ago had visions in his head of Deshaun Watson as his quarterback for the next decade and
yes.
Now has Marcus Mariota for a year, you know, for a certain year. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see it. I wasn't sure this would happen. I just wasn't sure if Mariota would actually get a clear chance to start for a team. You knew that if it was going to be a chance, it was going to be a chance to start for a not good team, which is what Atlanta is. I mean, he's going to have to be, you know, he's going to have to be very good. If he is, and he can actually get to the second year of this deal, that means that he will be coming to Nissan Stadium next year with the Atlanta Falcons. Next year is an NFC West year, and it's you flip-flop the home road thing. Falcons are coming here next year. So that's your charge, Marcus. Be good enough to be the quarterback next year so it can be a grand homecoming 8 years after you were drafted.
In all seriousness, I am excited to see how this goes. You know, he's got a guy in Arthur Smith that he's very familiar with, not just from the offensive coordinator time, but Arthur Smith was there in other roles while Marcus Mariota was the quarterback here for the Titans as well. So I think there's a certain level of comfort there, certain level of familiarity. I'm interested to see how it goes. And if nothing else, it'll be like the old days of ESPN 8, the Ocho, and the Riverstone skipping championship. Be like a repeat of that out there for Marcus Mariota. Looking forward to that, too, in Atlanta.
We're just going to have to hear all these insults, aren't we? This is probably the worst part of it, is now you get a chance to talk about, you know, make fun of Marcus's throwing style over and over again.
Hey, I hope he does well.
What did he ever do to you?
He didn't do anything. Marcus Mariota's a great guy. I've said it many times here on the show.
I don't know. I'm excited for him to get this opportunity. It's been a while since he looked like a legit starting QB in this league. I mean, I guess you'd go back to he had some really good moments. He had some really good moments in 2018 amid all the injury stuff. And then it really had very few good moments before Tannehill took over his job in 2019. But good for him. It should be interesting. And I don't know that it's like Arthur Smith, the same thing with like if you're a Falcons fan right now, you know. What you were, you know, like there's reports coming out, there's tweets that are getting deleted. It's basically like it's right there. And then it's like, how about Marcus Mariota instead?
Yes. Yes. Neil on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Atlanta going for that first overall pick. So maybe the Falcons striving for the first overall pick.
Maybe. I don't know. Will they be that bad? They don't have a number one receiver anymore to go with Marcus Mariota. I'm sure he'll like throwing to Kyle Pitts. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're in quite a treat of a division right now. on the quarterback front.
Yes, they are.
I mean, is Mariota the second best quarterback in the NFC South? I think you could make a strong case for that.
No.
So you got, I mean, Winston's probably better at this point. Yes. But that's always great.
Yeah.
Well, but that's been the debate, hasn't it?
It has been the debate.
Winston, Mariota, since they went 1-2. So now we will again get to see them go head-to-head against each other twice, two big rivals.
Yes.
Both of whom have had to settle for both of them because both of them didn't get Deshaun Watson.
That is true. Let's go back to the text line. I got a texture that says, it's weird, but I was born and raised in Tennessee, but I always was an Oregon and a Titans fan. So when Mariota got drafted here, I loved it. I honestly hope the best for him and that the second chance proof will happen this time for him in Atlanta. So maybe, look, this could be a chance for him if he plays well, whether it's in Atlanta or elsewhere. This could be a career kind of changing moment for him. He's still, I know it feels like he's been around forever. He's not old. I mean, he's got plenty of time that he could be a quarterback in this league. This is a big year for him.
Yeah, look, it's a great chance to start. It's not the ideal conditions. I mean, we don't know what else they're going to do to add to their roster. They need to do a lot. I mean, they need to get one of those receivers too. And look, they also, maybe the Falcons are going to, in tandem with this plan, to try to draft a QB. That could certainly be the case. And it could be like, and that's the thing. If you're Mariota, you feel like you have an opportunity, but head on a swivel because they could draft someone. And then in that case, you might not be looking at a year to prove it. You might be looking at like a month. Six games, and then it's like, okay, hand it over to the quarterback of the future. And that's certainly a possibility here. I mean, right now, it looks like he's getting a year to prove it. Let's wait and see what happens with the draft. But it's still, again, I wasn't sure he'd be anything other than a good backup, like a well-paid backup in this league, because certainly he's better than almost all the other backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
Tully in the Burrow texting in says, as a Saints fan, I'm thrilled for the Marcus Mariota starting for the Atlanta Falcons. It's coming from Tully in the Burrow.
Well, and plus you have Taysom Hill, so how could you must feel good every day when you wake up as a Saints fan?
How could you not? Got a texture that says, I would take Mariota over Watson any day of the week. Marcus is a stand-up guy. Watson has red flags on his character all over the place. I don't think anybody would argue he's a stand-up guy.
No, I mean, if you want to Deshaun Watson, the rest of his career, whatever happens with him on the field, it does not change that at the very least, he is an icky, icky human, okay? Now, again, forget the criminal charge stuff. That didn't happen. But, I mean, it's predatory behavior, okay? And that's always going to follow him. But let's also remind ourselves what this league's about.
Yes. I got another texter that says, I'd rather have Matt Ryan than Ryan Tannehill. So going back to the Colts part of it, I'd rather have Matt Ryan than Ryan Tannehill.
I don't think that that's going to be all that remote of an opinion, right?
Yeah.
At this point, based on what Tannehill just did, I'm not sure I agree. Like if you made me GM of the Titans, and this is the team I have, and said, okay, same cost, whatever, same conditions. Here's your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan. Who are you picking? I mean, the thing about Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan has actually done really good things in the postseason. I mean, like, it's really not his fault that Kyle Shanahan can't count and didn't tell him to hand off.
Yes.
To win a ring, because he had done enough to win the ring. And Ryan Tannehill has not done those things that he did in the postseason. That's also years ago. That's close. I think I'd probably stick with Tannehill because I know what he, you know, when things are functioning, what he does in this offense. But it's close.
Right? Chip from Mount
Juliet. Very close.
Oh, it's close for sure. I don't think there's any question. Chip from Mount Juliet texting in says, Atlanta is an awful situation to walk into. Arthur won't last much longer, but he inherited that situation. Mariota is doomed there. This is coming from Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line.
Well, look, if you're Mariota, you've got to be, you know, Arthur Smith. So there's a history there. He knows your skill set. You know, he's really good and you're getting an opportunity. I mean, you're getting some kind of opportunity to start again, which certainly you had to know was, was no sure thing. Now, I think Mariota, I mean, Frank, again, going back, I don't think trying to overtake Derek Carr was the right move. I think trying to overtake Mitch Trubisky was the right move, but didn't happen. And so the years keep going. You know, like you said, he's not old, but how many – I mean, there was a real chance he was never going to see an opportunity like this. It may not be too long if they draft a rookie, but you got to be excited if you're Mariota just to have any kind of opportunity, because there's also like a low bar of expectations for the team. So if you can scratch out some wins, you shouldn't – I mean, you know, you could help yourself. You could extend it. Do I think Marcus Mariota is going to be the Falcons starting quarterback coming into Nissan Stadium in 2023? Probably not. But it would be a lot of – probably not, but it would probably be a lot of fun if he was. It'd be a great story.
What number is he going to wear? Kyle Pitts is number 8. Is Kyle Pitts going to give up number 8 for Mariota?
No.
I don't think so either.
Maybe number – how about number 2 to remind everybody where he got drafted?
Maybe so.
Make a statement.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Vols, another early tournament exit. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Ziegler will fire off the mark. Dickinson the board. And that's it. An unlikely story being written by Michigan in March.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Tough loss for Tennessee against Michigan over the weekend. And to help us talk more about it, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Mike, obviously a lot of disappointment in Vol Nation right now with the way that the tournament ended for Tennessee against Michigan. What did you make of that game? What do you think happened to Tennessee offensively there? And how do you kind of describe the disappointment level in Vol Nation right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the game, you saw Tennessee's weaknesses, which was the lack of a post score or a consistent, reliable post score. They had one of those droughts, about 5 minutes without a field goal, which they had a tendency to fall into those moments as well. And then they missed shots, and that's going to cost you this time of year, and that's kind of what happened to Tennessee. But I think, too, you've got to look at the matchup that Michigan presented. With Hunter Dickinson being a big challenge, it definitely prevented Tennessee from being able to use the lineup that they love to use with Fulkerson at the five. So it was a tough one for Tennessee, and I do think there's a lot of disappointment. It's hard to wrap your head around a team like that didn't make the Sweet 16, especially when you certainly a week earlier were talking about winning the SEC tournament, and is this team deserving of a 2 seed and then didn't get one and then doesn't make it out of the second or the first weekend. So definite disappointment, I think.
So, Mike, this March I was like, you know, it's possible Tennessee will go, you know, at least get to the second weekend, so there doesn't need to be a Rick Barnes column, a column about Rick Barnes in March. And yet it did not happen, and so that is a large part of the discussion now. My question for you on that is there anything in this game that you think Rick Barnes screwed up?
Ooh. I thought John Fulkerson might have played a little too much at points. That was one, because this did seem like a matchup where that wasn't going to be great. I don't know what Tennessee could have done differently on Hunter Dickinson with the other guys they threw in. I felt like, I think we talked about that the day before, Joe, was seemed like he was going to get 20. Seemed like that was going to happen, but... Yeah, that was something that I certainly know was prevalent after the game, and I went back and forth on how much blame is to be placed on the coach in that game. And I tend to lean, period, in college basketball to players make shots, players make plays. So I didn't put as much on it as maybe other people did, but I know there's, you know, it does have a great record in March, and that's a longstanding thing, and it's tough not to make it out of the first weekend again. with some of the teams that have been here at Tennessee.
So to that point, Mike, do you think that that perception and maybe, you know, the fact that he doesn't have a great record in March, do you think that may have affected the team at all in the way that they've played, trying to win for Rick Barnes? Because the noise has been pretty loud on Rick Barnes when it comes to the tournament in March.
I don't know if that's a thing. That's definitely something I've never asked any of the players, so I don't know that I can speak to that. It didn't seem to me that they played tight the other night. I mean, you're talking about a team that, you know, went 2 of 18 from 3, really didn't play great defense the way they have this season, and went 5 minutes without a field goal, and still was in position to win late in the game. You know, if you get a box out at the end on Terrence Williams, you might end up winning that game. If one Zakai Ziegler three-pointer goes down from the corner, you might win that game. So I don't know if there's a tightness or a, you know, got to win because of this perception about their coach. I don't know if that exists, but I definitely can't speak to it since I've never asked that.
Yeah, see, I do think it exists. And I think that the SEC, and again, I'm not saying directly that lost this game for them, but I mean, I think the SEC tournament, you know, look, everybody, when they win a game, they're excited. You know, they're excited for everybody, excited for the coach. That was so much about Rick Barnes. And it makes sense, right? Because they like him a lot. He pushes them hard, but they have a great relationship with him, as you see all the time, Mike. I mean, it's a great, they got a great situation, a great atmosphere, a great, if we want to say the word, culture around the program. Mm-hmm. Yes, one of my favorite sports terms. But, you know, these guys know. I mean, everybody knows. It's like this massive elephant in the room every time it comes this time of year. And I thought Rick was a little bit preemptively defensive about it without coming out and saying it the other night. And again, I don't know that is a reason for why, but I thought that they didn't play the best. I thought that their defense was really bad early. And I don't know. It's just tough because this happens in the NCAA tournament, right? I mean, how many other teams are sitting here right now out because they didn't make the big shot or they made a terrible turnover or they just couldn't beat this team that they were supposed to be way better? That happens every year. But I feel like this was the team to bury that and kind of brush it aside. And now, you know, when's the next chance they're going to have to do this? Which brings me, after this long blathering segment, to ask you the question, is Kenny Chandler leaving?
I would assume so. He's a guy I certainly thought going into the year was already in pen as a one and done. And, you know, maybe in January, I think there was a point where, even maybe to the midpoint of SEC play, where how Kennedy was playing had me thinking maybe he's better off coming back. But he was so good probably the last 6 weeks, both offensively, defensively. I thought he was the best player in that Michigan game. Took it over at points, did that a lot in the SEC tournament as well. So I think with the way he closed this season, he's definitely out of here.
Mike Wilson on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Mike, to that point, you brought up the post play and the lack of a post threat consistently for Tennessee. How big of a priority is that, should that be, for Rick Barnes and company this offseason? And do you think the answer to that maybe is already on the roster?
Yeah, to me, that's number one. And that was something I wrote the day after the game. I don't know whether that means you can develop it or whether you have to go and get it in the portal, because they certainly have four post guys returning in Olivier Kamwa, Brandon Huntley Hatfield, Eros Plavsic, and Jonas Adu. You've got four guys, and if you see the talent in one of them, you're going to spend the offseason trying to make them that guy for you. But on the other hand, maybe you have to go to the portal, because we've seen Tennessee target portal bigs quite a bit in the past few seasons and not land them. I mean, just in recent cycles, Oscar Tshiebwe was one of those types of people. Walker Kessler was one of those types of people. And you certainly think about either one of those on Tennessee's roster and how different this season probably looks. And it was still a very good season, but probably looks a lot different at the same time. So I think that's priority number one. This was a game where that area of weakness showed up, and they did get 9-9 from Plavsic, which is better production than you necessarily expect going into that. But when Tennessee couldn't buy a shot from three, they didn't have that ability to say, We're going to throw it down to the post. This guy's going to go and get us a bucket, settle us down, get the offense going. So I think you've got to get that. And I think if Kennedy Chandler is gone, then you've also probably got to add another point guard as well.
What about, you know, Vescovi and James? I mean, they've been, you know, they've gotten better and better. They had great seasons. Yeah, I mean, look, I thought that they were really good throughout the postseason, SEC tournament and NCAA tournament, except, you know, you miss a cutout here. You have a couple shots you'd like back. What's possible for them? And do you think James has any chance of possibly going? I mean, I guess I would advise both of them to go give it a look, right?
Yeah, I think both of them 100% should go through that process. I mean, this is why it exists. It's for guys that can go and get the feedback they need and then build on it. And I think Josiah is probably going to get pretty good feedback. I think Santi probably does as well. But I think with Josiah's length, defense, the things that he brings, I think he's definitely going to get some good feedback. My guess is it's going to center around more consistency shooting the ball and also adding a consistent get-to-the-rim element to his offense. Because I think if he adds those, then paired with his defense, you're talking about a pretty lethal player. So I think both go through the process, but both ultimately end up back at Tennessee next year.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrode. Mike, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I miss you, Joe.
It's been hours. I'm actually in your town right now. I mean, I could come by and say hi.
Unbelievable.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you, man.
You bet. Thank you.
We'll come back. We'll react to what Mike had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 845 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and wear a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Join 1025 The Game this Thursday night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beardcade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Vegas Golden Knights. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beardcade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 9 o'clock this Thursday night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 1025 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, some quick breaking news in the NFL. Looks like Leonard Fournette re-signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 3 years, $21 million, could be as much as $24 million. This coming from Rick Stroud on Twitter, who covers Tampa Bay. So Brady gets his running back back. Not a huge surprise to me that Fournette goes back to Tampa Bay. Apparently he was looking around at the Patriots as well, but Fournette back with the Bucs. So there you go.
Yep, good player. Good team. Best team Avocado in the tequila. NFC South. I feel pretty good. Avocado tequila. That's right.
That's right. So thanks to Mike Wilson for joining us in the last segment. We talked a lot yesterday, Joe, about Rick Barnes and, you know, the perception around him in March and all these things now surrounding the Tennessee basketball program. My question to you is, where do they go from here? I mean, obviously you're coming off a great regular season, an SEC tournament championship for the first time since 1979, and yet another disappointing loss in the tournament in the round of 32. Where do Rick Barnes and this Tennessee basketball program go from here? And in your mind, how difficult is it going to be for Tennessee to put together a mix quite like the one they had with this team, with the amount of freshmen and veteran players that are together and NBA talent like Kennedy Chandler leading the way?
Yeah, well, I think that they can be better. I mean, look, if James, I think he'll probably get some good feedback. I agree with Mike. Probably not enough feedback to say, yeah, you should go. So I think James Vescovi, if you count on those guys coming back as seniors, that's two really good seniors. It's great to have. I mean, look, Tennessee could go in the portal and get a big. And certainly if you can get someone the level of an Oscar Tshiebwe or a Walker Kessler, great. But I actually think that there's a lot of potential in what they have already. You know, Brandon Huntley Hatfield is interesting. I think he could be a dynamite player. But now I also – there's a lot of bigs on this roster, and sometimes when you have a situation like that, at least one of them's like, you know what, I can go here and play a lot more, and that's what happens now. So I'm just wondering if they might lose some of those guys to the portal and to someone else. I think Plavsic made huge strides. I mean, Plavsic is so much better now than I thought he'd be based on last year. I'm like, oh, boy, this was just a recruiting mistake. And yep. Doesn't look like that way anymore at all. So, I mean, Kamwa coming back, like I think they could actually be quite good inside next year. You know, Ziegler's going to be a really good player for the next 3 years. There are still limitations there, you know. He's got to be like close to a 50% three-point shooter, but I think he can be. Which, of course, if he is that, then you're going to look back at those shots he missed, the wide-open corner shots, because Mike's right. If he makes one of those, it's probably a different outcome. But there's a lot to like about them. But if you take Chandler out of that, how do you make up for that? You know, it's just hard to imagine that they will have the same ceiling as a team without him. But as with any of these teams, like the portal movement is so extreme now that – I mean, you just don't know. Like Auburn, and I know they flamed out, but Auburn got way more dangerous when they added Walker Kessler. Kentucky, yep. I know they flamed out. That seems to be a theme in the SEC this year, but they had the National Player of the Year. I mean, Oscar Tshiebwe is going to win the National Player of the Year. He's the best rebounder since the 70s in college basketball. Yep. Who knew that?
I mean, and hopefully Tennessee he comes back. Him.
Yeah, and he may come back. And there now there's – and that's another point I was going to make here is, you know, Tshiebwe has got – he finally was able to get the visa figured out, and he's making all this NIL money. Well, this Tennessee collective, if I was those guys, I'd be like, hey, Kennedy, you know, let's talk about next year, because I think you're going to see some of that also in college sports, I mean, even on a smaller scale, just because he had his own stuff going. Scottie Pippen Jr. told me before the season he's back because he can do this and he can still, you know, make some money. And I think, by the way, I think he's probably gone when Vanderbilt's done. But that's also could be a game changer. I wouldn't get my hopes up if I were a Tennessee fan on Kenny Chandler coming back, but at least that opens up the possibility of, okay, is there something here to make it worth you staying another year? I thought a month ago, like Mike said, maybe it's just like, yeah, you're just not quite ready. But he started to look pretty ready. And when you start playing like that, there's teams out there who are like, yeah, you got to get in on this kid right now.
Well, I just wonder what's it going to take for him to come back? Like, what sort of feedback does he have to get to declare? Like, is he a top half of the NBA draft guy? Is he a late first round guy? Because if he's a late first round guy, could you make the case to him that you would benefit by coming back and playing another year at Tennessee? I don't know. I'm interested to see kind of what the feedback looks like on him and where he lands.
Yeah, just typically with the NBA, it's like if you're going to be in the first round at all, I mean, that rookie scale, like, you know, the rookie salary scale is such that it used to be if you were the number one pick or something, you get a massive deal. And now,
oh yeah,
now that it's capped, it's kind of, you know, like being one versus seven versus 16, it's not that big of a difference. If you're in the first round, you get two guaranteed years of a contract, which is a big deal to at least have that, like to have that security. Now there's still a lot of people, and you know, Josiah James' parents made this point when he came in, when all these people were talking one and done, and I did a story on them, and they were like, we're thinking 4 years. Like, look at all the people who go and don't get a second deal. Yeah, okay, you got in the first round or people like you a lot now, but then you weren't ready. You weren't ready to stick in the league, and you didn't get your second deal. And that mistake has been made many times. But I think Kennedy Chandler he's going to be okay. Like, I don't know if he's going to be, you know, like a star or even like a long-term starting point guard of the NBA, but I suspect at least the latter is there for him. I mean, he's got a potential, especially the way he started shooting the ball here. down the stretch would be pretty special.
Let's go to Twitter. Vince on Twitter says, you guys are cracking me up, talking like Michigan didn't deserve to win that game. They were the better team, and don't let that 11 seed fool you. They beat the SEC champs without their starting point guard, played a freshman point guard, and Caleb Houston had 0 points. This is coming from Vince on Twitter. We're not giving Michigan the proper respect.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote like multiple graphs the other day about how they weren't an 11 seed. We gave Michigan all kinds of respect already yesterday. Of course they won the game. I mean, I'm sorry that this is a sports talk show in Nashville, Tennessee. So we're talking about the Tennessee Volunteers, a school that is in the state of Tennessee. So we're going to talk about it from the Tennessee perspective. But yeah, Michigan won the game. Michigan made winning plays. Absolutely. Calm down, Vince. You'll be okay, buddy. Enjoy the Sweet 16.
It's going to be okay.
Enjoy the Sweet 16 and don't get all sensitive because a show in Tennessee is talking about Tennessee and not Michigan.
So if you're Rick Barnes and you're kind of viewing what just happened, I mean, obviously, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. He's not going to retire, I don't think. He's going to continue to coach. How do you kind of rebound from here? Because the narrative is what it is at this point. And, you know, it was this way anyway, heading into this season, but now it's just been magnified even more with yet another NCAA tournament loss. Like, it's kind of reached the point to me with similar to Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. Like, it doesn't really matter what Tennessee does in the regular season next year. Like, it's always going to be about, okay, what do you do come tournament time? Yeah. And, you know, in some ways, that's a great place to be as a program, but that's also that's all Tennessee fans are going to care about next year is, all right, well, show it to me. Come tournament time. What's going to happen there? Because there's not much confidence among the Tennessee faithful that anything is ever going to get done right there in tournament time.
I agree. I do feel like a year ago we kind of had the same discussion. And then you go through a year and they're so good, right? And then, and again, you did have postseasons. And some Tennessee fans have said that in the last couple of days, like, well, there was postseason success, like winning the SEC tournament. It's been since the 70s. And that's true.
Yeah.
But the SEC tournament, NCAA tournament are still not the same thing. So I feel like next year's team is going to be hard pressed to be as good as this year's team was if Chandler is not on it. So, I still think, but that could be like a 5 seed kind of team, top 25 team, good team. And yeah, it's going to be very much, it's a good comparison, very much. Okay. Let's see it in the tournament. Let's see it in the tournament from you. Tannehill, you guys went 11-6. Okay. Let's see it in the playoffs from you.
Let's go to the text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Got a texture that says, let's go Hogs. Only SEC team left. Joe, are you going for the Razorbacks to win it all? So are we transitioning from GB Joe to GB Hog? I don't know what it would be.
Woo Pig Joey?
Yeah. Yes. Woo Pig Joey here on the program. You a big Arkansas guy now?
I'd love to see them give Gonzaga a game. I mean, it could happen. I like Arkansas. That's a good team. I would not have picked. That would not have been on my bingo card. Arkansas, the only SEC team left in the second weekend. But, you know.
We are all actually St. Peter's Peacocks fans on the program here. And I've made the executive decision on that one.
Oh, I've been a Peacocks fan for at least a week now.
Purdue has a bunch of like 7'4" dudes. So if they win this game, then.
Listen, that guy is 2 feet taller than me.
Pray to St. Peter's because he's taking the whole thing.
Isn't that insane to think? 2 feet taller than me, that guy on Purdue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I can't see it. But, hey, I can't wait to watch him give it a shot.
Woo Pig Joey. Somebody makes T-shirts.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the NFL. What do we make of the moves the Titans have made offensively? How does it compare to last season? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.